Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside.
I am so excited to introduce you to this guest. She is a powerhouse, and you're going to see that and be inspired by her. My guest is Stormy Bradley. She is a wife, a mother, a business owner, community advocate, and patriot. She is the president of Bulldog Steel and the vice president of Metal Solutions. Both businesses are in the steel construction space. She has two rambunctious little boys that are going into second and first grade, and she is on four boards within her community and makes giving back a daily priority. Stormy's goals are to run the most efficient construction companies in Texas, to constantly pour into her community, and to improve on leadership and financial wellness and health throughout her city, country, and state. Let's dive in with Stormy. Get ready to believe that you can have it all. Time for yourself, the kids, your marriage, and your business. My name is Amy Wine. I am a Jesus-loving, married mom, CEO, professional counselor, marriage therapist, high-performance business coach, and a believer in keeping it real. Real life, real relationships, real people. I teach you how to live a life that represents who you are authentically, not who you think you need to be. Each episode, I meet you right where you are with time-tested tools and strategies so that you can find who you are in all the hats you wear and live your life authentically on purpose. This is real life, raw, sometimes ugly, other times wonderful and fun. I can't promise you this work is easy, but I can tell you it is totally worth it. Are you ready? Let's get started. So Stormy, thank you for joining me. I am so excited to have you on the couch with me. I've got to figure out a way to have people on the actual couch. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Like, in-person live interviews?
Yes. Like, wouldn't that be amazing?
Yes. It would be amazing.
I need that. That's what I need in my life. But I want to get to the point. You are amazing. You're like a powerhouse woman. When I met you, I was like, she does what and that. And I was like, wow. Like, I was blown away because I am the type of woman who does a lot, right? I run a couple companies as well. I am constantly striving for more. I have the kids, balancing and figuring out the priorities is tough, but it's hard for me because I always feel like nobody understands. And then I kept hearing your story. I was like, oh, she is on fire more than me. Like, so tell everybody a little bit. I know we have your bio, but I want to hear from you. Tell us a little bit more about what you do.
I run some steel businesses. Mm-hmm. I am a mom. Mm-hmm. I have two little boys, a second grader and a first grader. And I am in the running for Senate here in Texas. Mm-hmm. Today is my second week being launched for that.
Wow.
And then I've been married to my husband. October will be 11 years that we've been married. And we have been dating for, my gosh, I think like 14 years. We've been together for 14 years. It doesn't seem like that long, but it's weird how fast that happens. That's really it. I do think I have an issue with downplaying my awesomeness. I don't know if I do, but I like to think that I'm normal. I like to think I am a I'm just a busy mom, right? I used to say I'm a stay-at-home mom that doesn't stay at home, but I've started to own who I am a little bit more as I've aged and my accomplishments. I know I'm extraordinary. I mean, I'm not trying to toot my horn. I hope that doesn't sound like that, but God has blessed me and given me a lot of experiences in my short 31 years, you know, and I'm selling him short in my life by not owning them and living up to them. And so that's something I've been working on for probably the last year, because I've always wanted to be relatable, wanted to be this person anyone can talk to and trust and confide in. And I still am that person, but I have, there's so much more depth than what I let people know about me. And so I'm trying to do better at that this past year.
I love that, because one of the things I love about you is while you are this powerhouse in all the things that you do, you're so humble about it. Like, there's just this genuine, authentic, real person behind everything you do. I've never in all of our interactions ever, and I've had the blessing of meeting you in person, ever seen you act any different than just who you are.
I don't know how you can act like anybody that you're not. That's that answer. Yes. I know people do. I know people can put on a facade and things like that, but the truth is going to come out eventually. Mm-hmm. I say the F word a whole lot. You know, I might as well just be upfront with it and just say that this is me. This is real.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. And I have learned that authenticity is, whether people like that you say the F word a lot or like this thing about you, they appreciate you and respect you because you are so authentic. And so I don't know. That's one thing that's hard for me in politics right now is I have to kind of dance. I'm a good two-stepper, right, in Texas, but I'm not a good political dancer because I've been getting debate practice and messaging practice every Thursday morning right now. And they're like, oh no, you can't say that. There's a delicate way to say this. And I'm like, all right, I'll be more polished. But, you know, in that I decided I am who I am. I'm representing my district well. They would all say the same thing, probably in the same words. I will do well to mind my manners, but sometimes if it slips out, it slips out. That's how I've decided.
It was so funny because when you said, hey, I'm going to run for state senate, I was like, what? Like, I felt like it kind of came out of left field a little bit, but I know it probably took a lot of thought and being for your part. But I thought, man, this is going to get interesting really quick. I would love, as you secure your seat, I would like love to come watch you because you do keep it so real. Like, and I do think, especially in your district too, people want that. Like, politics is so, you think everybody's a liar in politics. I don't see that in you. And I thought, man, this is what they really need. Someone that's just going to stand up and say it and take it or leave it. So I like that they're trying to polish you a little bit. I kind of find that funny, but I think it's going to be amazing. So tell me, what made you decide? You have a successful company's great family. What made you decide I am going to go run and be a Texas state senator?
I have been at the peak of my business, or I thought I was at the peak of my business growth last year. 2019 was an amazing year for us. COVID did have a pretty heavy hit, but this was pre-COVID when I decided to take a plunge to run for state senate. And so at the time I was setting my goals and I was like, nothing's really exciting me. I mean, I'm hitting everything. My profit margins are great. I'm making more money. My team is solid. Like, I don't want to be a lazy bum. I need to come up with something, but I don't have anything, right? And my business coach was like, let's take it back. What did you want to be when you grew up? I'm like, ha ha ha. You know, one time I said I was going to be the governor of Texas. And I actually, that was what I planned on at 13. And I ended up like doing debate in high school, being a government and pre-law major in college. And then I met my husband and everything changed. But that was my goal till I was probably 18. So 5 years, right? And motherhood and life and businesses get in the way, right? And then when your businesses are on cruise control, you're like, I feel like you understand this more than most. Being a mom, you almost certainly lose yourself for a few years because you're so consumed with motherhood and cooking dinner and being the best wife and making sure the house is clean and making sure your kids have their hair combed and they have shoes on their feet and they're not disgustingly dirty. I mean, that's a full-time job. And you really lose yourself and your hobbies. And I was listening to another one of your podcasts earlier about like the number one reason for marriage and entrepreneurship, like conflict or something like that.
Yes.
And so I was listening to that and you were talking like, you know, you become roommates. And it's not that my husband and I were roommates, but the roommate stigma goes with you're just going through the motions. And motherhood is that way. I guess like 2 years ago, I kind of woke up to that realization of, wow, who am I? What have I been doing this whole time? My kids are starting school, kindergarten, pre-K, like, wow. Now I have a lot of time on my hands. What did I used to do before I had kids? I mean, I asked myself that question for a week straight and I still didn't have the answer because you can't remember. And so fast forward to last year, I had been kind of working through like, what does my life look like when I don't have to nurture and baby and raise this business forever? What does my life look like? Well, that looks like giving back to my community. I feel like locally, I do that well. I'm on my school board. We actually last weekend had a car show and raised $16,000 for a trade school scholarship. I'm very passionate about vocational and trade programs. And so we helped fund that and helped run it with the other car show companies or groups in town. And then we have a big Thanksgiving feast and some other, like locally, I've got that community aspect down. People know my business name. People know my husband and I. And they know they can come to us for help in, I mean, any project that they want because it's something that we care about. But how do I give back and make a bigger impact, right? That is run for state politics. I care deeply about education. I care deeply about trade schools. I care deeply about small businesses. This is the life I live every day. And so where can I put my passion to work? And so that's what spawned the state senate.
I love that because I didn't know the whole backstory that there was actually stuff like leading up to this that you did at 13, I think you said. Mm-hmm. Like, I love how God brings that all back full circle and we start to see the pattern through our life and the experiences we had that built what he really wants for us. And now he's revealing the next part of that plan because you built successful businesses, small businesses, right? Into amazing ones. So without that experience and without experience of the mom and the wife and the community, like you needed all those stepping stones. But one thing you said too that really struck me was you kind of woke up and thought, who am I? I don't even know anymore. You got lost in wearing all the hats that moms wear, right? Because we wear so many different hats. You kind of touched on refinding yourself, but how long of a process was that for you? And was it just that week or how did that look? Like for me, it was 6 weeks of crying in the backyard, hysterical.
Pretty much. I would say it was a couple of months.
Okay.
Of almost, I feel like I was going through like a little bit of a breakdown. I was kind of hostile to my husband. I was like, you need to watch these kids. I need to go stay somewhere. I need to figure this out. Like at that time I had like woken up and I was like, I've been doing this all wrong. Like my husband's not on my team. He's not helping me. He's like, it's all me. You know, you get it, feelings like that. And he's like, whatever you need, I am lost. Because we are mothers and wives and business owners. I don't know how many of your people that follow you and listen to your podcast are business owners, but I've been a business owner since I was 19 years old. And so it is not the easiest thing. You know, I was a business owner, then I was a wife, then I was a mother. So I've always had that responsibility. And when I flipped my switch for that couple of months, I was like, playing golf every day. I just made somebody else do my job. And if it didn't get done, sorry, I'll do it at 8 o'clock at night. Like I had like all my cares were gone.
Right.
And then I had another waking up moment where I was like, I can't just abandon everything. I have to find a way to find this balance to give me the me that I need, but also lead my business well, educate my children well, raise them upright, and give my husband one-on-one time that he needs and vacations and trips and, you know, the things that you need. There had to have been a balance, right? And then I found this, God was looking out for me this day. Every single thing in your life, you can relay back to God. And if you can't, you just need to think a little harder because, you know, my childhood was intense, but I got a lot of grit now. I met my husband, turned me a 180, you know, and here I am running businesses. And now I'm back on the same path that I started on when I met my husband and when I was 13 years old. It's just so funny how God knew I needed all these detours to prep me for this new challenge. So mm-hmm. I quit my life for a few months, played golf every day. I wasn't reckless or anything, but I just was like, I used to play golf. Why don't I play golf anymore? I'm going to play golf every day. So I was doing that. Then I returned the switch on, and then I'm like panicked because what the heck am I doing? I can't not work and I can't not feed my kids and all the things. So God knew I needed help and was laying in bed crying to Tyler, telling him I don't know what I was doing so wrong. I need some help, you know, like I need some structure. And this planner pops up, the Full Focus planner. This was 2017, right? Or 2017 or 18. And I am like, this planner is going to save my life. Holy crap. It's $35. It's only a 3-month planner. That's like $10 a month. I better make it work for me. So I get the planner the first day. I'm watching the videos. I'm trying to get my life together. I mean, I think I talk about this all the time to my friends, but I get overwhelmed with, like, I call them the shivers, you know, like cold chills. And that's, I think, ultimately when God's like, you're moving in, this is where I'm wanting you. And so I just got them just now. Yeah. So I'm like, going through this planner, setting my goals, looking at my life domains, marital, financial, vocational, avocational, you know, all the things. And I'm like, wow, I was really off balance. And so I get rebalanced. And I have been that way. I've maintained that since literally the very first week of having that planner. And I feel that ultimately saved my life, my kids' life, my husband's life, my marriage, my businesses, because who knows where we would have been if I would have given up for a long time, you know?
Right. Yeah. I'm going to interrupt you for a second because you took those few months, but then you came back out. And I love a couple things. One, I want to mention, I get the shivers too. And it's a lot when I'm talking to people or when I'm counseling or working on something. When I get them, I know that's when God is present. And I always thought I was strange. I have never heard anybody else say that. So thank you for making me.
It really happens. Validated.
Okay. But here's what I think too about this planner. And I'm going to tell you, I love the Full Focus planner myself, but the first year of it, it was like my version of hell. I'm just going to be honest. I rebelled against it so much. And here's why. I did not believe that there was truly a way I could have it all. The marriage, the kids, the business, myself, my dreams. Like I felt like I had to have one or the other, that I could not be good at all those things at the same time. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to someone that thinks that way? Because I think a lot of women think that way, that we can't have it all.
You are highly mistaken. We call that, you and I and a couple others that we are associated with, we call that the double win. And it's easy to think that it's a fallacy, but people live it every day. There's hundreds of people that you and I know that live that life every day.
Every day.
And seasons of life happen. You know, my father-in-law passed away. someone that's not physically related, but we called her an aunt, passed away like 3 weeks later. There's just a lot of things happening that if I didn't have the balance, I would be, you know, flipping my switch off again. But having that ability, number one, you have to have closeness to God. Number two, you have to be real with yourself. If you have those two things, you can find the balance. It is completely doable. You have to set hard limits. I leave work every day at 3 o'clock. Today is an exception. It's 2:30 here, but my mother-in-law is watching my kids because I have a school board meeting tonight and a political event. So my mother-in-law is watching my children. So I have a little bit of a me day, right? But you set hard limits. I get up at a certain time every day. I go to bed at a certain time every day. I also know when to ask for help. That's another challenge mothers have. I don't know if God designed us that way or it is the world and the society that's giving us this, I can juggle everything and I am an expert at everything that I do. But the facts are, you're good at some things and you're not good at others. The things that you're not good at, get some help.
Absolutely. My husband says I have no domestic skills.
I love it.
I got help.
That's right.
I hear from women so often that they don't feel like they can. But if you go back, and I do think this is somewhat society too, is if you go back to the olden days, that saying of it takes a village, like they literally had a village, right? That cared for your kids. There was aunties and uncles and sisters and siblings and grandma. They were all living together in this one little community that it helps. Like, I would swear if I did not have really good neighbors when my kids were toddlers, I would have not made it. Like, I would not, because we don't have family where we live. But I had really good neighbors and made friends with that. So I do think that it's a little bit of culture of you can't ask for help. And I feel spoiled when I do.
I blame Pinterest. I'm just kidding.
Yes. You want the Pinterest life. Well, I do too, but I'm going to delegate that look to someone else. Can you create this for me? Because I want a lot of time. But it's choosing where I spend my time, right? Anyway, I think that women don't feel like they can ask for help or they're embarrassed to ask for help. I will tell you, my youngest is going to college. So I'm getting ready to empty nest in 13 short days. I don't know. Maybe I'm excited. Yes, I am. Let's just say it. I am. I know they're coming back. And I just have not been the mom that I cried when my first one went to college. Like, I was in the fetal position because I'm like, how did I get here so fast? Mm-hmm. But after the second one and now the third one, it's like, I'm so ready to just be for a little bit. And I think, you know, after a couple months of that, I'll be done and wish they were home and all that. But I have a house manager. So I'm going to bring this back around to my point. I have a house manager that I just hired maybe 4 months ago. She comes to my house 3 days a week. And it's the best thing I've ever done. If I'd have known when my kids were younger that that was a thing and that somebody would come and make sure my house is clean, they would run my errands, they would prep my food. Like, do you know I didn't even own an ironing board or an iron?
Oh, man. I have a steamer.
Do that. Like, if that needs done, it's being sent out. And that was the first purchase she asked us to make. And I was like, why? That woman irons my jeans. Like, I came home on Monday. I'd had a really rough day at work. And because sometimes, you know, life just happens and it just turns it upside down. I had little flowers on my nightstand and a bouquet of flowers in my bathroom. Like, I have never felt so taken care of in my life.
I love it. I love it. But that's the truth. And I think every person has that ability to delegate. Mm-hmm. You can hire a housekeeper for $50 a week to come and put your laundry up, change your bed sheets, do your dishes, and you can go get your nails done, go get your hair done, go have a coffee break, something. You can do something for yourself while your kids are still in school. Read a book. Take a nap, you know, something. All moms need that. And it's,
but they feel guilty.
Yes. But you don't have to feel that way. I'm giving you permission.
Good.
all of Amy's listeners. You do not have to feel that way. Once you make the leap, you're going to be like, just like you said, why have I not done this sooner? You're going to see other things that open up, right? Go to a lunch date with a girlfriend. I mean, how many of us don't do that anymore?
Right.
I mean, because we're so caught up in motherhood and life and business that you, hey, I haven't talked to you in a long time. Do you want to go grab a bite to eat and hang out? Whenever me and my girlfriends do that, it's like 2.5 hours later, you're like, wow, we really did have a lot to catch up on, you know? Right. So
wear busy as a badge of honor.
That is definitely an issue with not just women, with men. I mean, what's the first thing you say? Hey, how's life? Oh, busy. Oh, just working hard. I mean, that's a great thing. That shows that we care about our work ethic, right? But at the same time, man, life is great. My kid just got back from inventor camp. Or, I mean, I caught a bass this big. Or I got a hole in one. I mean, those things are all wins as well. We just sometimes don't feel like we can say those because we want to portray we're living the American dream, which is hard work, and we're driven. There has to be a balance of pleasure in the work. If you got a record bass at the lake at the bass tournament last weekend, heck yeah. I went skydiving. That's what I did. And it was amazing. I cannot wait to go again.
You keep saying that. That's not happening. I'm not doing that, and I'm not getting on yours and Renee planes. Yours and Renee's planes. I can't talk.
We can totally keep you alive.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. You're going to have to ply me with a lot of tequila. That's all I got to say.
We can do that.
So I have two final questions for you. One is, I need you to tell us about your need for speed.
Oh, I don't know where it came from. I like to blame my husband for my need for speed because he has drag race cars and cars are his thing. But when I start thinking about it, like, I have loved cars and breaking the speed limit law. That's the only law I like to break. I'm a rule follower. I have been that way since I could drive. So I can't blame my husband for that anymore. I have to take ownership that it is me. I wish I knew where it came from, but I guess I was just born with a lead foot. We have drag race cars, an airplane. We have a couple of Corvettes, some classic cars, just cars. I love the smell of a new car. I love the smell of an old car. I love working on cars. I love the sound of the engines. It's just a passion. I wish I had an answer for it. But if you ever get to experience that thrill, you continue to need it, right? So that's it. I drag raced a Tesla, I think it was last year, like myself.
Yeah.
I'm a driver. Usually I spectate or like do test pass and things like that. But I drag raced a Tesla last year and won 2 times in a row. And since then, now I'm hooked. I have to get my own drag race car and everything now because I just can't get enough.
Now that I need to come visit because that I could do. If I'm on ground, we're okay. Not going up with you pilot people in your little planes. No.
You get a lot of training before they turn you loose.
I know. I'm just teasing. I'm not really teasing. Like, I love that y'all do that. And I'm impressed, like duly impressed that you followed that dream too. Because y'all, she is a pilot too. Like, we just didn't even mention that little tidbit. But
it's hard to learn. It's a very technical skill to learn, but it really teaches you a lot of multitasking. Mm. I mean, I would think, you know, they always say women are better pilots than men. Number one, we are more attention oriented. We check our screens and instruments and things like that a little bit more. We listen for radio calls a little bit more in tune, but mostly you are constantly looking everywhere and monitoring things. So that is a good skill that women already naturally possess. So it makes us better pilots.
I love that. So my final question is this: what is something you do when no one is watching?
You want the real answer?
I do. I want the real answer. This question freaks out everybody.
I have to fluff my boobs. you know, like they get like sticky. You know, it's just like what you have to do, right? But, oh, Tyler says we have to redo that. He's like, he gave me like 10 thumbs down.
No, it's the truth. They get all gross underneath. I mean, come on.
I'm not know that. Women. All the girls will laugh about that.
All the girls are going to laugh.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm laughing about
it. I'm trying to think, like, what is really, like, one thing that you do when people aren't looking? I don't.
Is Tyler popping in? He can pop in on the podcast. What's he do?
Oh, he says I read a lot of books. So if I'm doing one thing, if people aren't watching, like, I read a book, which I have, like, three on my desk right now because I'm jumping my hats, like, right, political hat, fundraising hat, business hat. So,
you know what? I think one thing I got this question.
You well, how would you answer it? That's right. How would you answer it?
I dance naked. Nobody's ever asked me that yet. I dance.
You get to ask us that question. What's that? What's your answer?
I dance in my kitchen naked when nobody's watching. Spot. That was TMI. I got this question because I'm sitting on the car on the way home from work and I look over and somebody's picking their nose. Like they are digging deep in there. And then a few minutes later, I'm sitting in the car and I look over and the person is picking their nose. And I'm like, what is it about cars that they think nobody is watching them? Do they forget we can see it?
Yes. I mean, have you seen the TikTok challenge that's like, turn your screen on and put your like turn your camera on and put your phone in your back pocket?
No.
Oh yeah, it's like a new TikTok thing. And so people are walking around like Home Depot and all these places just videoing guys and they don't have any understanding that like any knowledge they're being videoed.
Yeah.
And so you might be on the next candid camera because that's the way that is. But it's the truth. You think people aren't looking. I'm not a nose picker, but my little guy is, my little son is, we right. are trying to break that habit with him, but I wouldn't even know how to truthfully answer that because if you can't say the pick of the boob one, you know, cause I feel like, when am I ever alone? And if I am, I'm going to immediately put my pajamas on and just like, most of the time I put my feet on the kitchen table. That's what I do. I do. Like when no one is at my house, like I just like put my pajamas on, I get me a glass of milk with Oreos and I'll just like go and like put my feet on the table. Yeah. I don't allow anybody to put my feet on the table and I clean it before we eat. But that's my thing. Put my feet on the table.
I love it. Well, Stormy, it has been a pleasure. And thank you so much for taking time out of your business schedule to record with me because I think you're going to inspire a lot of people. And a lot of women, high-powered, ambitious women, to understand that they don't have to choose. They can truly have it all. And I want to wish you luck on your Senate race. Okay, that wraps up today's episode of Couch Time with Amy Wine. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're interested in continuing conversations just like these, visit my website at amywine.com. There you will find additional resources for high-achieving, Jesus-loving, married moms just like you, and the different ways that we can work together. Thanks for tuning in. See you here next week. Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business and your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're going to tackle real life marriage challenges. From reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection.
We're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're going to find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit ThriveLifeTV.com and let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.